Not wildly so, not totally out of your league, but just evades you slightly, and it is so frustrating because you're almost there. And we've experienced it in lots and lots of different ways. So what do you do when something is just out of reach? How do you respond? How do you react? What do you do? Well, you could simply give up. It's just out of reach. Okay, that's the way it is. It's never going to happen. I'm never going to have it. And we give up. Or we could actually try and work a bit harder and push a bit harder, but we can get so frustrated pushing and trying to reach whatever it is, but it is just beyond us all the time. No matter how hard we seem to try, no matter how hard we work, it is just beyond us. And we get more and more frustrated. Or we could simply hope. I just hope it'll turn out. I hope we'll be able to get that. I hope I'll be able to reach it. I hope I'll be able to achieve it. And those seem to be the three possible reactions. When something is just out of reach, we give up, we try harder, or we just cross our fingers and we get on. But it's not just things that affect us as individuals. But also things that affect us as a community. What about the political talks that are going on? So often it has seemed to us that agreement is just there, almost reached, and we could move forward in a positive, creative way, only to find that peace, true peace, is just beyond our reach. Just tantalizingly beyond us. Or maybe it's the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month. A time of great optimism. My grandfather was wounded out of the First World War. He survived it. But many of his family, many of his friends didn't. And now looking back, I wish I'd had the conversation with him about what it was like. How did you feel at the end of that war that was the war to end all wars? How did you feel when you came out of it? Was there that spirit of optimism? Was it worth it? Was that sacrifice worth it to end all wars? And then, Grandpa, I wonder how you felt 20 years later when it all kicked off again, when peace just seemed to be just out of reach once more. And apparently in the century since 1914, British forces have been engaged in conflict somewhere across this globe in every year. Peace just out of reach. Just out of reach. So how do we react? How do we respond? How do we live? We could just throw up our hands in despair and say, well, that's the way it's always been. That's the way it's always going to be. There's no point in getting upset about it. Conflict is conflict. That's the way this world is. We could try harder. We could redouble our efforts at being makers of peace and become frustrated, disillusioned, as many have. Or we could just hope for something better. No, it's not great the way things are, but maybe someday things will turn out better. How should we as Christian people remember, respond? Certainly, we do need to remember the immense sacrifices made for us. And we need to remember with thankfulness. We need to remember forwards. It's not just a matter of looking over our shoulders and remembering what happened back then. We need to be able to look forwards and say, because of what happened back then, we want a better world. We need to remember forwards to show our thankfulness as we seek peace as we seek justice wherever God has placed us. But how do we cope when it all seems just out of reach, just beyond our reach? I think we need to remember what we believe about God. And that's why May read for us this passage from Isaiah 40. If you'd like to turn it up in your pew Bible, Isaiah chapter 40, page 724 of the pew Bible. We need to remember what we believe about God. And there's a big difference between what we imagine God to be like and what the Bible teaches us God is like. Because in our own heads, we create a God who is so small that, well, we can fit him into our heads. We can understand him. We can encompass God with our logic, our reason, and he becomes small and he becomes helpless. When we look at the God of Scripture, we find the God who is far too big for us to begin to fully understand. A God who is so vast that we can never grasp him. We can never control him. That's the God the Bible teaches about. And so Isaiah simply starts with this question. Verse 21. Do you not know? Have you not heard? In other words, Isaiah is saying to you, you do know. You have heard. Our little grandson these days, when you ask him a question, one of the first things he'll say is, I don't know. And we've now learned to turn it back and say, you do know. And he does know, and he does remember. But here's Isaiah doing the same for us. You remember God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? Of course you have. Of course you know. Of course you've heard. You know what he's like. And then Isaiah goes on to lay out what he's like. He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth. Its people are like grasshoppers around him, compared to God, tiny, insignificant. This is the God who sits enthroned above the circle of the earth. This is the God who brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. We look to the rulers of our world for wisdom and leadership and guidance, and so we should, but we need to remember the God who put them there, the God who placed them in those positions of authority. Isaiah says, do you not know? Have you not heard? This is the God who raises them up and brings them down. You remember a few weeks ago, we looked at the story of Daniel, and at one stage, Daniel says, look, to the king, I can't interpret your dreams. I don't understand these things, but there is a God in heaven who does. There is a God in heaven. Isaiah is saying something the same. There is a God in heaven. Sits enthroned above the circle of the earth. He raises up, he pulls down rulers and leaders. This is the God that we need to know and remember. And then Isaiah presses his point home. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? And it creates all sorts of problems because there is no one and nothing that we can really compare God to. He alone is God. He alone is holy. He alone is mighty. He alone is majestic. He alone is just. He alone is true love. And we can go on and on and on. There's no one that we can compare God to. There's no one who is his equal. Do you not know? Have you not heard? And then in the midst of remembering who this God is, verse 27, we simply read, why do you say and complain, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Does God not know? Does God not hear and understand? Of course he does. And Isaiah goes back to the question, do you not know? Have you not heard? Of course you have. The Lord is the everlasting Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth. This is our God. And so when things are just out of our reach, when we long for peace, when we long for an end to conflict, and it's just beyond our reach, we need to remember these things. Our hope is not in military strength. Our hope is not in diplomatic efforts. Our hope is not in political negotiating. Important though all of these things are, our hope is in the Lord. Isaiah simply says, those who hope in the Lord will regain and renew their strength. And Isaiah has this picture of exchanging. Exchanging weakness for strength as we hope in God. Exchanging frustration with a sense of purpose. Exchanging that disillusionment with a sense of vision of where God is leading us. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Things that are just beyond reach. There's another verse later on in the book of Isaiah, chapter 59, verse 1, where we simply read this lovely little statement, "Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save." Do you not know? Have you not heard all these things about who and what God is? But his arm is not too short to save. Those things that we think are just beyond our reach, his arm is not too short to reach. His arm is not too short to save. Now, trusting in God doesn't mean that we don't have our part to play. Of course we do. We have our part to play as peacemakers wherever God has placed us. And that's much more than people who just hope for peace, long for peace, dream about peace. It is people who, in the name of Jesus Christ, get out and actually make peace. In our homes, in our communities, in our workplaces, wherever it is, we, as followers of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, are to be known as those who make peace. But we build that peace trusting in God. And our focus is on God. Our focus is not on what is just out of reach. If our focus stays on what is just out of reach, we will become disillusioned, bitter people. Our focus is on the God whose arm is not too short. The God who in Jesus Christ has given us a hope that is both sure and certain. For we look forward to that day when there will be no more conflict. We look forward to that day when the tears of loved ones are not seen again. For the God who wipes away all tears from our eyes promises to lead us into this future, this new heaven, this new earth. Here is our hope. It doesn't mean that we don't work towards peace and justice here and now, but this is our hope, which is sure and certain in Jesus Christ. What I would like us to do is to stand for a moment, and we're going to read this together. It's simply an act of commitment, a short prayer of commitment, as we commit ourselves to trusting in God and serving those around us in his name as we seek for peace. I invite you to stand. And we say together, Lord God, we give ourselves to serve you and those around us in the cause of peace, for the relief of need and suffering, and for the praise of your glory. Give us wisdom, give us courage, give us hope, and keep us faithful to your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. And may God give us the grace to know and to hear who he is and to trust him when things are just beyond our reach. Why? Because in Jesus Christ, he has given us a sure and certain hope. I'm going to watch a short video now, which is just based around a song by Stuart Townend, simply called "There Is a Hope." The words will be on the screen. If you want to join in, sing, please do. It's a beautiful song which focuses on the hope that is ours in Jesus.
Stands the test of time, and is my eyes beyond the beckoning grave to see the matchless beauty of a day divine when I behold his face. When suffering ceases and sorrow.
We pray together. Lord, forgive us that we struggle in our own strength and things are just out of reach, and we begin to believe that they will never happen, nor turn our eyes towards you, that in you, Lord, we may find again that sure and certain hope for today, for tomorrow, and for all eternity. And this we ask in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.